He said, "You may be seated." And Dwight said, "You can't." I was up first. Tonight we're going to be studying on the mistakes of a fool. It's going to be found in Luke 12, 13 through 21. As we go through this evening, and as we were preparing for it, I kind of reflected back on what Brother Brown was talking about this morning in his presentation. And you see all those children and all those people that have so little and have just so few material things. They fight, and their fight every day is fight for life. It's not a fight for comfort. And sometimes as men today in the United States, we tend to fight for comfort and we fight for things, not as much as we fight for survival and fight for God. As we go into this and we go into the study, kind of keep that in mind, the comfort that we have in this life, in this world, versus those that we've seen overseas and, you know, in Israel and different lands where people don't have as much as what we have. The poorest among us here has more wealth than many and many, many of those children that Brother Brown was talking about this morning. Yet we seem to make it more and more difficult every day because we keep fighting for more and more every day. And sometimes it makes sense if we would just go back to the beginning and understand the fact that all we need is those around us. That's all we need, and God. And those around us will be able to lift us up as we praise God together. And God has a plan for us, but we don't necessarily need all the things that we sometimes think we do. As we go into the introduction, we talk about man, and man is prone to make mistakes, and he's been prone to make mistakes since the beginning of time. The wise man seeks to correct the mistakes, and the fool seems to hide and make justification in those mistakes. And Jesus tells us in our text that a foolish man who has made terrible, terrible mistakes. And today we're going to break it down into four different segments. I'm going to discuss the true standard of life, and Dwight is going to discuss the true use of his abundance, and Ben is going to discuss a true way to be happy. And then we're going to save the end for Henry, who's going to come up and knock it out of the park at the very end with the length of life. And that one, you got to hold on for that, because that one's going to be coming. So be prepared for that. As we get going, I'll tell you this, the note of the standard that the man had set. And the standard he had set was how much material gain he could gather in this life. And that material gain, being money or goods or things that he had or could get, whether it be cars or things of that nature, in our lives, but our world is sometimes based upon material things. And he as well wouldn't even be satisfied with the appetites that he had. Once he got accustomed to those things, he wanted more and more. And still, people like this continue on in this life, the life that we're in today, and they end up selling their soul for these things, these materialistic things that we feel we have to have. They may be more important than going to church, or more important than worshiping God, or more important than fellowship together. We put these things in front of others sometimes. And it's important for us as Christians to lift up and lift up each other and edify the church and be here for one another. And Dwight's going to bring us part two.
I'll speak on the second part tonight, the misuse of the abundance. If y'all have your Bibles open, let's go ahead and read the verses. It's Luke chapter 12, and we'll read verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me judge or arbiter between you?" Then he said, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist and an abundance of possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." The point I'm trying to make is about the misuse of the abundance. And as we look at verse 15 of this parable, we notice that Jesus told that our life consists of more than just how many possessions we can accumulate from the time we're born to the time we die. God had blessed this man with more than he really needed to survive. And although God had blessed him with all of the extras that he had, the man's big mistake was that he misused God's blessings. The man misused the extra that God had blessed him with. He wanted to just save it and put it in barns and store it up. Today we might say in a savings account or in stocks or in certain things that are not helping anyone except helping us get further gains. And if we're honest with ourselves, most of us would have to say that we really have more than we really need too, just like he did. I know I could say it. It's easy to sit here and read these verses and say, "Boy, that man sure did bad." But how much do we need? If we're honest with ourselves, we can see that we may not have more than we want. I certainly don't. But I have more than I need in order to survive. As we watched the video this morning on those homes in China, and you see how they live with a dirt floor. Everyone sleeps in the one room that's in that house. And the rich ones had a fireplace where they could cook. The rich ones. I realize just what we have. I don't ever have to cover my food at night. You saw the metal covers where they had to cover their food to keep rats from eating while they were asleep. Just terrible. Didn't have a thing. And we have a lot more blessings than what they have, and they're surviving. In verse 17, we see that this man was very productive. He had earned a lot in his lifetime. And I feel like all of us are productive. You know, if you're an American, you want to be a productive citizen, right? It's what the government wants, too. They want us to be productive. But God has blessed us with everything we need. And there's nothing wrong with being productive or nothing wrong with having extra. I don't think there's a thing wrong with having a savings. But if it turns into greed and we're not willing to share, then there's something wrong with it. As we look further in verse 18, we see that even though he had more than he needed, he still wanted more. "I'm going to build bigger barns where I can get more and more." This man was not satisfied with what he had. It wasn't enough to have more than he needed, more than he could ever dream of. You can see he was going to take life easy. And we want to make sure that we don't fall in the same mindset that he had. We need to be satisfied with what God's blessed us with. Have y'all ever heard that old saying, the more you have, the more you want? You know, it's pretty true, isn't it? If I'd have looked 30 years ago, and I mean, I'm not rich, and I don't figure any of us think we're rich, but if you'd have looked 30 years ago at what you have saved right now, and looked at it, you'd have thought, "Boy, if I had that much, I'd be set." But now you have that much and it's not enough, is it? "Oh no, I can't share enough of that. I need a little more." We see what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 through 13. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with his abundance. This is vanity. When good things increase, those who consume them also increase." If we skip on down in verse 13, he says, "There is a grievous evil which I have seen under the sun. riches being hoarded by their owner to their own demise. When we read verses like this, you know, we may ask, is it wrong to have plenty? I don't think it's necessarily wrong to have plenty. As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible tells us that a man must provide for his family and for himself. To read it to you, it says, but if a man does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So we have to provide, and we have to provide for the future. But we have to know where to draw the line and not let it become greed. In Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, I'm not going to read it, but there's a story there we've all heard about Ananias and Sapphira, where they sold a piece of property and they wanted to be looked at like some of the others who had sold their property and given all they had to the church. So they sold theirs and they acted like they were giving all their money to the church, but they held back. They were greedy. They wanted to be on good standing for look how good you did. Kind of like writing a check for a dollar and throwing it in the plate. Boy, he gave, did he? You know, I mean, nobody here writes a check for a dollar, I'm sure, but it would be the same type deal. We look at them like, oh, look here. They were wrong. They acted like they were giving, and they weren't. It still happens today. We know what happened. Ananias, when he was confronted with it, Peter told him, he said, you know, you're going to pay for what you did. God doesn't allow that. And Ananias died and was taken out and buried. 3 hours later, when his wife was brought in, knowing what he had done, she did the same thing. Oh, yeah, we sold it. What happened? She immediately died too. The Bible tells us that this caused a great fear in the whole church. And wouldn't it cause a fear? If in here we were to see God strike us dead when we lied to him, would it get our attention? It'd get mine, I can tell you. I would try my best not to. The problem is, God is so loving, and he's allowed so much to where we do think we're smarter than we should be sometimes in some of the things we do if we're not careful. You see, Ananias and Sapphira, they were not condemned for selling their land. He even tells them, that was yours, you could have done what you wanted with it. But they were greedy. They wanted the praise of men, and they lied about it. They were greedy, and they misused what they had. So the question is, where did the rich man in the verses we read, Luke 12 through 13, or 12 through 21, where did he err? Well, he erred in several ways. One was he was not using his wealth properly. And I got to thinking, am I? As I prepared this, I've got some money stuck back. How much do I need to have there? $35 to feed these kids for a month. Do a lot, won't it? Can I spare $35? Or am I greedy? He erred in his attitude. He was not willing to use what God had helped him with to help others. Are we? Do we see something and then just sit on the pew and say, yeah, that's a shame? Or are we willing to use what we have to help others? And he erred in being greedy with what God had given him in the first place. You know, I'm very thankful I'm not living on a dirt floor in China. But for the grace of God, I could be right there, covering my food at night where rats don't get it. We're fortunate people. Let's don't be greedy people. Let's don't misuse what we've got, because it's real easy to do. In my case, as I prepare this lesson, I see things about me, and I think there's other people like me. I don't think I'm so far off that it's just me. I hope not, because I'm glad that it did affect me, and I hope it also does y'all. Because when we're not willing to use what we have, we're misusing what God gave us. We need to make sure that we're not making the same mistake that this man was called a fool for. We need to make sure that we're willing to use the blessings that God has given us and be thankful enough to where we will use what we have to help others. Let's don't misuse what we have. Ben will come now and speak to us on the way to be happy. I need some of that.
I will be speaking on the true way to be happy tonight. You know, many people have their own idea of what happiness is. Another mistake that the foolish man made was his idea of how to be happy. You know, he thought because he was so wealthy and had all this abundance that would bring happiness into his life. In verse 19, in Luke, he says to himself, I had plenty of good things laid up for me for many years. I'll take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, what he's saying is all this stuff that I have is mine, and there's nothing else in this world that's going to make me happy. This stuff right here is happiness to me, therefore this is going to make me happy the rest of my life. You know, he never thought that his wealth, or should I say his happiness, could be taken from him, you know, by perhaps fire, theft, or even his own life later on. You know, many people in the world today think that the wealth they have will make them happy or satisfy them. King Solomon tried it, and he failed. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, he writes about his wealth and how much he had. Solomon had many houses. He had land, vineyards, gardens, parks, and all kinds of fruit trees. He even owned more herds and flocks than anyone before him. He had both male and female servants. He even had slaves that were born in his house. You know, he denied nothing his eyes desired, and yet he still failed to find happiness. There are many other wealthy people in the world today who never found happiness. Look at those in Hollywood or the high-paid athletes. They make millions of dollars a year and still want more after that. You know, some athletes make $20 a season, and the next season they want $20 million more. If $20 million don't make them happy the first year, I don't know why they think another $20 million will make them happy. We can also look in their lives as they're married. You know, they get married, they get divorced. They get married, they get divorced again. Their married life's not happy. They fight amongst one another. They bicker, bring each other into court. They sue each other. You know, I don't know about you, but that doesn't look like happiness to me. You know, they have a lot to live on, lots of money. They can buy anything, but they have nothing to live for. Many of them died lonely, or they commit suicide. You know, it seems like every month or so, we hear on the news or reading the paper, some millionaire or Hollywood star or something dying in a hotel with a needle in their arm, or overdose on drugs, or some athlete or rapper getting shot in an alley somewhere over drugs or for whatever reason. Now, that doesn't send out a message to us that they're happy. Another example of a wealthy guy that didn't find happiness was Howard Hughes. You know, he inherited a bunch of money at an early age, 16 or 18 or so. He lost his parents early and inherited millions of dollars. He lived life the way he wanted to. He partied. He even become a Hollywood star, made movies, flew all over the country, become a pilot. He invented things. Dated lots of women, lots of models, got married, just did what he wanted to. He lived life what he thought would be happy. Later in his life, he become a recluse, become a hermit, hid himself from the world and the people. He lived in a hotel room in Vegas, and when they got ready to evict him, he wouldn't leave, so he just bought the hotel. You know, that's what a lot of rich people do, is they try to buy their way out of stuff. And he thought he'd find happiness there. Later on, in his death, he died on an airplane coming back from Mexico to Houston. He died alone with nobody around him who cared for him. They cared for his money because they fought over it for years, and some of them still fighting for him. And notice I said the word fight, because that's what they do over money. You know, when we leave this world, we can't take money with us. And it reminds me of a story of two men attending a funeral of this wealthy man. And one man leaned over to the other one and said, I wonder how much money he left. And the other man leaned over to him and said, he left it all here. You know, we can't take our money with us. And I've worked at a funeral home for many years now. And I've buried wealthy people and I've buried poor people. And when they get to heaven, God's not going to care if they made $1 million or if they made nothing. They're going to the same place if they're a Christian. So how can one be blessed and be happy? Well, let me tell you three ways. The first one is you can follow the examples of Christ. In John 13:17, it says, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." You know, if we follow Christ, live our lives as Christians, and do what he says, he'll bless us in our lives. Money won't do that. Number two, we can read Matthew 5:1-12, the Beatitudes, and practice them. Let me give you an example of one. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Everybody in this world needs to be comforted. The rich people and the poor people. It doesn't matter. There's going to be time in your life you're going to be hurt and you're going to need to be comforted. Rich people may buy their way out of it, like Howard Hughes did. You know, he was a hermit, and they were going to kick him out of a hotel. He just bought his way out of it, you know, bought the hotel. You know, people do that, but God can give you more comfort. Mourn with those around you, and you'll find comfort. Thirdly and lastly, we need to imitate the happy man of Psalms in chapter 1. It says, "He who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." We need to walk with other Christians. Don't live a life of sin with people in Hollywood. Don't get wrapped up in sin and greed with money and all. Walk with Christians. Thank you.
I'm here to knock it out of the park. Adam does not know I batted about 214. So we'll just close out with me. This story of this rich man that we've been talking about, he had everything he needed, but he didn't have that one precious commodity that he needed more than anything else. And that was the time to enjoy those things that he had gathered up over all those years. He thought he had the time, but he didn't. He thought he had many years that he could enjoy those things. He thought that life was going to be a party. He was going to take life easy. He was going to eat, drink, and be merry. He had all the time he needed to do whatever he wanted to do. He was very, as Ben, I think, said, or Dwight won, he was a very happy man. He had everything. He had it all going for him. But the thing his money couldn't buy him was not one extra tick on life's clock. And it won't buy us one extra tick on life's clock, no matter how much we've stored up for ourselves. The rich man just did not realize just how quickly things change. And I know everyone in here, we know that things change very quickly. Things happen. This weekend, I went to a wedding, my nephew. But I also grieved with a friend that lost his father. Things change. Everything is moving. The rich man did not realize that life is a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. James 4:14. He had every earthly thing he could wish for, but he didn't have that thing that he thought he had. He didn't have that assurance of those years that he thought he had that he could spend those things. He could buy the earthly things he wanted, but you can't buy the heavenly things with money. They just don't come that way. And all of his money couldn't buy any time. He didn't realize that very night, time was up for him. He was done. God said that his life would be required of him. And then what would happen? He's going to be standing before God. No better than the lowliest beggar that was on the street. He was stripped of all of his possessions, had nothing, no wealth, none of the things that money could buy, just him and God. And one day, we're going to be just like this rich guy. One day, we're going to be stripped of all of our possessions. One day, we're going to be standing there before God, and we're going to be looking at God, and we're going to be giving an accounting of our lives. And hopefully, we won't be in the same situation and make the same mistakes that this rich man did. I hope that we've laid up our treasure in heaven where it can never be taken away, not basing it on the things here in this life. And we can do that. Anyone can do that. But in order to do that, you have to be a child of God. And if anyone here in this auditorium tonight is not a child of God, I implore you to take that step, to don't end up like this rich man and be standing before God one night and you can't give an account of what you had in this world because you were not a child of God. But you can become a child of God tonight before you leave here, because once you walk out the door, there's no guarantee that you'll ever walk back through it again. We've seen it before. We've been standing right here and talking to people one Sunday evening, and next week we didn't see them. And that night, maybe their life was required of them. So there are no guarantees. But if you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, I urge you to repent of your sins, change the way you live, confess Jesus, be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins, and then live faithfully for the rest of your life. And then you too can be laying up treasure in heaven, not on this earth where it's going to all pass away. And also, if you're a Christian and you have a need, if you need feel like you need to come forward and ask for the prayers of the church, we ask that you too would come as we stand and sing our invitation song. Thank you.